and Indy and everything that flies. It's all about the race and it's everything we know. Full down throttle, welcome to the show. Race Day Rock, it's your speedway report now. Race Day Rock, it's your facts from the track. Hey, Speedway Report is produced and broadcast by the Zeus Radio Network 4. Racers Reunion Radio. Kyle Busch takes on the haters through Twitter. Great entertainment last night on the internet. Now, was Watkins Glen's Cup race a sellout? We'll see. NBCSN put together a different broadcasting style for their NASCAR coverage. What'd you think? Well, we're going to talk about all that and more. Welcome to Speedway Report. We are on Monday, August the 7th, 2017. As always, from the shores of Lake Norman in Race City, USA, Mooresville, North Carolina. Hey, I'm Patrick Reynolds, and thank you for joining the fastest half hour in racing on RacersReunion.com, Facebook Live, and SpeedwayReport.com. From the North Myrtle Beach ZRN Studios, producer Jeff Gilder is giving us four tires and fuel for our run to the checkered flag until the top of the hour, because we think the four tires will be better than the track position as some guys are staying out. Let's hop right to it. Our Speedway Report victory lane lap as we capture the first full weekend of August of this summer. Well, the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Tour was up in the Finger Lakes region of Watkins Glen, New York. Yesterday's Cup race was won by Martin Truex Jr., while NASCAR's Xfinity Series raced on Saturday. That was won by Kyle Busch. The NASCAR Whelen Modified Tour ran their old stomping grounds, one of the homes of the Modifieds, up in Stafford Springs, Connecticut. Last Friday night, Ryan Preece was your winner. Came off the second place and the win in the Xfinity Series attempts with Joe Gibbs Racing. He is riding high, parks it in victory lane last Friday night. The tour races Wednesday in Thompson, Connecticut. The K&N Pro Series East Tour was also in Watkins Glen, New York. And Will Rogers makes his first series start with the East Cars. Makes his first series win with the East Cars. Pretty good batting average up there. The IMSA Road Racing Cars were up in Road America in Elkhart Lake, Wisconsin, where Pipo Durrani and Johannes van Overbeek guided their Tequila Patron Nissan to atop the podium after yesterday's run. Our friends with the NHRA Straightliners were out in Washington with the Northwest Nationals. Antron Brown takes down Top Fuel. Robert Height took Funny Car, and Drew Skillman was our winner in Pro Stock. Over on the dirt, the World of Outlaw Late Models were last Tuesday in Oshkosh, Wisconsin, won by Brandon Shepard. Wednesday night, they ran up in Shawano, where Rick Eckert was your winner, and New Richmond, Wisconsin, had the big event of the weekend. Mother Nature interfered a little bit. Thursday night's show was rained out and rescheduled to Friday, so Friday's feature was won by Chris Madden. They also had practice time trials, some heat races. Saturday's big A-Main and $50,000 to win. The real deal, Don O'Neill, took the checkered flag on Saturday night. World of Outlaw Sprint Cars raced last Friday night in Peavely, Missouri at Kenny Schrader's I-55 Speedway. Well, that was won by Darren Pittman. That was a setup to Saturday's Ironman 55, which unfortunately rain got the better of. They will reschedule that date to be announced a little bit later in the series. World of Outlaw Sprint Cars, they are tightening the nuts and bolts as in 2 nights they begin the Knoxville Nationals. ARCA Stock Cars were on the high banks up at Winchester, Indiana for 200 laps yesterday. Kyle Benjamin was the winner there. And the USAC Midgets had a big week in Kansas. Last Wednesday in Beloit, Christopher Bell was the feature race winner there. Then they moved to the high banks for the Belleville Nationals in Kansas. The Friday night preliminary feature was won by Chad Boat. And Saturday's main event, the Belleville Midget Nationals, was won by Spencer Baston. As with this date tonight, we remember Brian Clausen gone from us 1 year ago. He passed away from injuries that he suffered while leading those very same Belleville Nationals 1 year ago on the high banks. In Grandview, Pennsylvania, they ran one of their big races, the Forrest Rogers Memorial Race, honoring the track founder. 50 laps for the small block modifieds. Craig Von Doren won the $10,000 that went along with it. That track is roughly 1 month away from the Freedom 76 in mid-September. It was announced the winner of that race, $30,000, awaits the winner of the 76 lapper. Now, the Cars Tour had a real big event in Hickory, North Carolina, not far from where we are here, with their Throwback 276 twin 138-lap features for the super late models and late model stock cars. The take on this is very similar to how we run the Southern 500 at Darlington, South Carolina on Labor Day. We all the late model short track guys picked up retro paint schemes, wraps, and decals, and it was pretty cool to watch. Tate Fogelman won the super late model feature. His late model was decked out just like Sam Ard's legendary machine. It was white with the red double zeros on it and the Thomas Brother Country Ham decals on the quarter panel. He parks that right in victory lane. Pretty good for Fogelman. And the late model stock car race was won by Justin Carroll. His paint scheme looked like old Junie Dunleavy car that Dick Trickle piloted. So pretty cool event there. Packed house, big crowd up at Hickory, North Carolina. That could very well be an annual event with the Cars Tour doing their throwback race here in August. And the Bowman Gray Stadium ran the NASCAR Modifieds on Saturday night. Danny Bone won the 100-lap modified race, and some big dollars were on tap with the fans' challenge. The top four in modified time trials can elect to start at the rear of the field, and $3,000 rolls over to each race. If the one of the top four starts last and can advance to the top four at the checkered flag, they win $3,000. Well, it hasn't been won in several weeks with these 100-lap features. That's the series that it goes with. Jason Myers and Joe Ryan Osborne were two of the four. They elected to start in the back. Both of them made their way to the top four in third and fourth position, so they split $12,000. Nice payday for each one. Jason Myers and Joe Ryan Osborne each take home $6,000 for their Saturday night efforts into the top five. Now, let's jump over to a little, I guess, hypothetical thinking, some fake news, some whatever you want to call it. We want to talk about Watkins Glen's sellout. Watkins Glen International Speedway, home of the Monster Energy Cup Series over the weekend. It was publicized that yesterday's Watkins Glen race was a sellout. Now, I'll tell you right now, disclaimer up front, the only Watkins Glen Monster Energy Cup Series racing I saw yesterday was about the last three or four laps. I flipped it over. I did watch the finish. I had my TV on Fox Sports 1. I was watching the IMSA race from Road America, because if we're going to run a race, I'm not interested in playoffs or stages. Not interested. So I watched the sports cars run their race. That race took the checkered flag. There was a few laps left at Watkins Glen. I flipped the channel over to NBCSN and did watch the finish of it. Okay, cool. Now, I watched that, and then I'm scrolling through social media, and I stopped on our very own Tim Leeming, the legend. You know him. Got the legendorial every Tuesday here on Racers Reunion with Racing Through History. He made a post mid-yesterday afternoon about the track, about the NBC coverage, about the Monster Energy Series race. And I'll read it to you. It's on Facebook, so if you're friends with Tim, you can go to his page and check this out. I'll quote. Quote from Tim Leeming, NASCAR and NBC, fake news, lying sportscasters, and my poor vision. NBC announcers stated sellout at Watkins Glen. Why then all the empty seats? Good infield crowd, but with all those empty seats, it is not a sellout. Shame on all you NBC announcers. Oh, wait, my mistake. One of the several grandstands was sold out. All 100 seats. Little sarcasm and a little humor there in Tim Leeming's statement. I thought about it. I raised an interesting discussion in my head, and I did comment on Tim's thread. Actually, it's got some interesting comments. As usual, most Facebook conversations veer away from the topic at hand and go off on all different tangents. But if you're part of our audience and you enjoy stock car racing history, then versus now, this is your type of thread. Go ahead and check out Tim's page. I don't want to go into everything that everybody talked about the history of NASCAR, how then was better then was better than now. I want to address the Watkins Glen's sellout aspect of it and what I consider somewhat of a shell game on the part of the higher ups at Watkins Glen and NASCAR. Now, to talk about Tim's post, the race was advertised to be a sellout in advance. Now, that's a good thing to me. As much as I criticize NASCAR, I really don't wish them any harm. I just wish they would change a lot of things back so that they would start filling seats again instead of constantly trying to empty seats, which they're very successful on. But the race was advertised as a sellout, promoted as a sellout. The networks promoted it as such. And if my information is correct, I want to have a disclaimer on this part too. The Glen has 39,000 grandstand seats. Now, it's an over 2 mile road course, a lot of sprawling infield, very healthy crowd and motorhomes and campers like most people watch a road race. Any road race actually you go to, we'll talk about Road America. Very few people in the grandstands at Road America for the IMSA race, but the infield was packed with motorhomes and campers and people watching on hillsides. Watkins Glen, no different. Majority of the crowd is in the infield. However, when they refer to a sellout at the Glen, they talk about the grandstand seats. No, the Glen has removed seats like just about every track on the Monster Energy Tour has, so they don't have the seating capacity anywhere near that they did 15 years ago. Now, my theory on this is when those tracks get close to a sellout and they want a sellout badly, sometimes they will enter in a partnership with a corporation or the business to buy up the remaining tickets. I have done zero detective work on this race at Watkins Glen, just my theory. I hear it happens. I know it does happen sometimes. I don't know if this specifically applies to Watkins Glen. I'm going to imagine that it does. When a track gets close like that, where you have a very good crowd, not a sellout, but a lot of seats, sometimes there's a corporate partner that will just buy up the rest because it looks good. You have a sellout. The tickets are sold. Every seat, every ticket has been sold. I noticed this aspect at this year's Daytona 500. That was also advertised and promoted way in advance, sold out, sold out, sold out. That's great. Want to overlook the fact that there's about 60,000 less seats than there were 15 years ago. Okay, that's fine. That new grandstand they have, it is an outdoor motorsports theater almost. It is a beautiful facility, but there's a whole lot less seats. I stood on the fan deck on the infield this year at the green flag for the Daytona 500. I looked from the infield directly back up at the grandstands, and I could see chunks of empty seats. And there were one or two here and there. Most of the seats were filled. Majority of them, they were. But there were plenty of empty seats there. Same thing. This Daytona 500 is supposed to be sold out. Where are people? Well, the onesies, twosies I see, because no matter what, if you sell out anything ahead of time, there are going to be those people that something comes up last minute and they can't make it. That kind of stinks, but it's going to happen. What caught my attention in Daytona were the chunks of seats, these rows and these blocks of seats that were empty. Why is that? How can you claim a sellout when those chunks of seats are empty? That was my theory. There was some corporation, some entity that bought them up, and they were, you know, whether they give them away, resold them, burn the tickets. I don't know what they do with them. Whatever. Technically, yeah, you got a sellout. Now, Daytona and Watkins Glen are what? Owned by the same parent corporation. The International Speedway Corporation, IOC, they have shareholders to answer to. These are publicly traded companies. They're on the stock market. You can buy and sell stock in ISC. They have quarterly reports of profits and losses. Ticket revenue is up. Attendance is down. What have you. Where the numbers are, they can report these. Sellouts always are good. Numbers sold are always good. So the tickets sold versus actually people in the seats are not synonymous with each other as far as a sellout. You can have a sellout technically with empty seats. Those seats are sold. A human being is not necessarily sitting there. Now, I'm going to expand on this a lot. Let's take an extreme case, and we'll use Watkins Glen as our example because we just had the race there over the weekend, two races. And we'll take those 39,000 seats at Watkins Glen. Let's take them. Now, all of you out there watching us, listening on the radio, watching us on television, pick your favorite billionaire. Donald Trump, Warren Buffett, Bill Gates, Bruce Wayne, Ebenezer Scrooge, what have you. One guy with a big wallet. I want to exaggerate the point. Let's really stretch our imaginations here and exaggerate the point. Let's say tickets go on sale a year in advance, and Warren Buffett is a race fan, and he wants to go to Watkins Glen. And he calls up Watkins Glen on their first day of ticket sales for the Cup race and says, I'm Warren Buffett. I've got this credit card, and I want to buy all 39,000 seats. One guy. Would the Glen sell that to him? If I was a business owner, I sure would. I'm in the business of selling things. Now, by definition, that race is a sellout. Every single ticket is sold. We move forward to race day, and the green flag waves. And we have, you know, pre-race introductions, and the pits are lined up, and the cars are lined up, and the drivers are waving, ready to go. And Warren Buffett is the only human being sitting in the grandstands because all 39,000 seats are purchased. They're all his. He doesn't want anybody around him. He's got the money to do it, and he's the only human being sitting in the Watkins Glen grandstands. Do we have a sellout with one human being sitting in the grandstands? By definition, yes. All the tickets were sold. You have a sellout. Now, what we're talking about here is the spirit of the word sellout versus the actual definition of this case. We all know, you, me, everybody, you know, leaming everybody, we know sellout used to mean, hey, all the race fans bought all the tickets. You can't get tickets anymore. They're all going to the race. Their fannies are in the seats. The packed grandstands is full of race fans. That's what it used to mean. As more and more corporate involvement became involved in the sport, they had their shot for blocks of tickets and their tickets that they needed for corporations and big business and wheeling and dealing for this to get done. There's so many tickets available on each speedway that are saved for those people. They do or do not get used, but they are purchased. Now, we all know what that used to mean by a sellout. Yeah, race fans bought the tickets. There was no corporate involvement. There was no business, which brings me back to my original point. This is a shell game. Yes, by definition, I don't think the facts were incorrect. The race technically is a sellout by definition. Is the spirit of the rule there? What the intent was, what is meant? Is it a sellout? I have a hard time grasping that. But that's my suspicion anyway. I don't know. I have zero research, zero detective work. I didn't do anything with Watkins Glen. I didn't do anything with the Daytona 500. This is a guy that's just been around the sport for years. The years that I have, I looked up at the grandstands. We're supposed to be sold out. We've got empty seats. It's not onesie-twosie like somebody couldn't make it at the last minute, which we expect. We understand that. That's going to happen. But there were these big chunks, these big blocks that were missing. There were no people there. Do we really have a sellout? By definition, yeah, the race is sold out. Are the networks reporting something that's not a fact? No, they're not. But we've all experienced piss-poor American journalism over the past several years where they just twist the facts or the story to meet their needs. Is Watkins Glen a sellout? Yeah, it was. Were all those race fans in the seats filled up the grandstands? No, they definitely were not. Well, in spite of that, me watching the final three or four laps of yesterday's Cup race, I did watch a lot of the Xfinity race at Watkins Glen on Saturday, and I really loved the NBC Sports Network's announcing format for that race, where they stationed people around the track, not just in the booth above the start-finish line, and they called the race on television, much like a radio call of the race. I have seen this done on the oval at Indianapolis in years past. I believe in the 90s during the 500, They did that where they positioned announcers around the track. They only tried it a few times, maybe only the one time, but I thought it worked spot on for Watkins Glen. May or may not work well at an oval, but I thought their setup was fantastic on Watkins Glen. Couple points to make before we get out of here tonight. Go to Kyle Busch's Twitter timeline if you want to be entertained. I had a great time watching it last night. He lashed out at the haters. He went back and forth with them. They light him up pretty much every Sunday night anyway, the guys that can't stand the guy. And like a lot of guys in his position, you have thousands or millions of followers. You can't reply or engage with everybody. He must have been like on his game on the plane ride last night from Watkins Glen. So go to Twitter, check out Kyle Busch's Twitter timeline. And a big hat tip to Lee Diffie, who anchored the NBCSN sports coverage over the weekend from Watkins Glen. Common Formula One guy, fill-in IndyCar guy. I thought he did was spot on with his NASCAR coverage. Good play-by-play man. He had the accent, the Australian accent, but for the content coming out of his mouth and his knowledge of the sport and his description of what was happening, spot on. I think I could welcome Lee Diffie to a whole heck of a lot more NASCAR broadcasts. He gets two thumbs up from me. And always a reminder, you guys want some Speedway Report stickers or magnets, just send me your address and I will get them right to you. Guys, in between our broadcasts, keep up on the world of auto racing with our website, SpeedwayReport.com. Our replays of the show are posted on the site. Just head to the top ribbon, hit the TV button, and you can watch archive show as well as tonight's program. Steve Zonger, Paul Bluffus, and me are the columnists and grand authors at SpeedwayReport.com. Big thanks to Jeff Gilder, ZRN, and Racers Reunion for your outstanding production work tonight. You can hear more from Jeff in our Racers Reunion family tomorrow, Tuesday, at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on Racing Through History. Free Pennington will kick off the evening with Making an Impact at 6:30 Eastern Time. Big thanks to everyone on the Racers Reunion chat rooms for tuning in. I saw the messages pop up and fade away on my screen. I'll read them all after the show. Whether you loved me, hated me, disagreed with me, piled on, whatever, I'll check them out shortly. And yeah, I'll get back to you on social media too. Could be fun. I love wrestling with you guys. This show can be viewed on demand at SpeedwayReport.com, RacersReunion.com, and also the Speedway Report Facebook page, as all of our shows are archived. I want to thank all of the military, past and present, for the freedoms we enjoy as Americans in our daily life, including the simple things like bench racing right here on a Monday night. Freedom is not free, and a veteran paid that bill for us. To all of the men and women who are defending freedom and watching Speedway Report, take care of yourselves and come home soon. A special salute to the teachers, school staff, firefighters, police officers, and paramedics in our own communities. They are quiet and modest heroes every single day. God bless and thank you. You have been watching Speedway Report from the shores of Lake Norman in Race City, USA, Mooresville, North Carolina. Produced and broadcast by the Zeus Radio Network for Racers Reunion Radio. Now don't go anywhere. BP, JB, and BS are coming right up on the top of the hour with Racing and Rocking with DragList.com. Please, as always, like our Facebook page, Speedway Report with Patrick Reynolds, and you can follow me on Twitter at SpeedwayPat. For Jeff Gilder, I'm Patrick Reynolds. We will be back next Monday with news from Michigan, modifieds in Thompson, Connecticut, plenty of short track results, and the Knoxville Nationals. Thank you all for joining us on RacersReunion.com, Facebook Live, and SpeedwayReport.com. Good night, everybody.
Bimini's Oyster Bar and Seafood Cafe has been serving nothing but the freshest shellfish and fish since 1985, beginning with the original location in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, and now including an inland location in Greenville, South Carolina. A local's favorite, Bimini's offers live entertainment in season in a year-round vacation atmosphere. Take a trip to the islands inland. Bimini's Oyster Bar, where there are no bad days. check out the